And now we're at the top of 23, Mises 23. Now we just try to shteltsu one on the other. Okay, don't forget to count. Okay, let me dismiss that so we don't forget to count, all right? It's a whole Omer over here. Why do they keep reminding me? I don't know. Rabbi Yochanan Karevi, the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yochanan, Avani, he could hold like Rabbi, that makes sense, like we just explained. Just like Rabbi Yochanan holds it's Kaveya, Rabbi holds it's also Kaveya. But he could even hold like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. If you look at the Yisbark of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, why? Chaimer hu b'Shabbos, shekein nesharim shenoshu mehe lehen asurin. What does that mean?
Eagles?
No. Yeah, I'll come in the Sharim. Very good. Here's the translation is fruits or branches that became detached by themselves from a tree are forbidden on Shabbos. Now that's an Isser Mukzah, right? That's an Isser Mukzah. So what's the point? Perhaps, it says over here. Number one, he says that perhaps when the rabbis ordained that Shabbos renders produce as Tevel, they modeled it after the halachas of Mukzah. Thus, just as the fruit and branches become muktzah, even when they fall by themselves without any human intervention, so too Shabbos will make produce tevel even without any human intervention. That's what he wants to tell you. That's the first shot. And therefore, maybe Rabbi Yochanan's chumrah that he holds that Shabbos is keveya for peiros that you didn't have an intention to eat is because of the chumrah of Shabbos. But maybe when it comes to the halachas of Meiser, he could hold like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. If you go through the field with the intention of that wouldn't be kaveya necessarily. Chumra de Shabbos. All right. Reb Shimon ben Yochanan, let's go to the other side of the comparison. He holds what? That Shabbos is not kaveya, and he holds like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that the chotzer is also not kaveya. So that makes sense. Filo de Yizmuk Rebbe, and he could even hold like Rebbe, who holds what? That the Chatzar is Kaveh. Chaymer hu b'chatzar beis shmiro. That this is a special Chumrah. Why? This is the Gemara's going to quote a Gemara we had before. Domer Rebbe Yochanan says, Mecha Chatzar v'shavas ein otara. That the three things that are not Kaveh are these three things, min ha-tara. They're only Kaveh min rabbanan. But Reb Imi B'Shem Reb Shlokesh says, HaMachovish B'Kulon Zechatzah Beis Shmira. That the one that's the clearest of them, in other words, meaning that it's not just Rabbanan, that it's D'Oraisa. What's the D'Oraisa? The D'Oraisa is Chotzer. So that means, what we're trying to say here is like this. Maybe Reb Shlokesh is going to say that I could even hold like Rebbe when it comes to what? When it comes to walking through a chutzner, even though my intention is not to stay there, but it's just using as a pass-through, but since chutzner is such a chomer de gazach that it's kaveya min ha-toyra, it's not like Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, I hold that it passed through Shabbos. It's not kaveya and I can eat it after Shabbos. But that's because Shabbos is d'rabbanan. But when it comes to chutzner, I hold k'machuv v'shavakul in his chutzner, it's the raisa, and therefore will be kaveh, even if it just passes through.
But it has to be a chutzner.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about. Oh. We're talking about a case where you pass it through a chutzner mishtameres, that Rebbe holds that it's kaveh, and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda holds it's not kaveh. And Reb Shlokesh holds Shabbos is not kaveh. That's because Shabbos is d'rabbanan, and the chutzner is the raisa, could be, he holds like Rebbe. This is, of course, fakarit from the Bavli, because the Bavli is very clear that it is Rabbi Yochanan who holds the Chatzos Kaveh Min HaTorah. It's a Machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. We said this already once before, just to remind you. Okay, Vayta Gevar. Rabbi Yochanan Moshem Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Hoy Lo Shnei Chatzeres. So he had two fields. One, excuse me, one was in Migdalah, and one was in Tveria.
You said
Where are you?
A couple lines up from that.
Yeah.
You said that already?
Yeah.
You missed it?
You missed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a din d'oraisa.
Uh-huh.
Did I not say those words? Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But I spoke it out. Maybe I spoke it out. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't read it in time. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No.
Okay. Now we're going weiter anyway. Regardless whether I said it or not.
Slow down.
Got to go faster. Rabbi Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, says the following. This is very interesting. Allah. Here he has two chatzeras. One's in Migdala, and one is in Tveria.
No.
No, they're two different cities. Okay.
They're
Samach. They are Samach.
That's what the footnote says.
Okay, I don't think it makes a difference. Mar
Reuven.
I don't think it makes a difference whether they're Samach or not Samach. It's not the point.
I don't know.
I think one is Mishtameres. One second. I thought that one was Mishtameres and one was not. Just one second. The point is, the point over here is he did not have in mind to eat it in the first chutzar, and he does have it in mind to eat it in the second chutzar.
Right.
Okay, that's the point. So, Heviron Bezusha Megdala, so he passes this produce through the courtyard of Megdala. Lo Eichlan Bezusha Betraya, and he has a mind to eat it in the Treya. Now, obviously, we're going like the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Let's assume that they're both Mishtameres. So if they're both Mishtameres, so then, according to Rabbi, passing through will be Kaveh of the first one already. So let's assume, well, Gemara's going to say this out, right? But let's just assume that. We're going like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So the first Chatzar will not be Kaveh. And then, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you don't have in mind to eat it there. You're just passing it out. You're going out of that chatzar. But there's one distinction here. He's going out of that chatzar, and his goal is to reach another chatzar. In other words, previously we were talking about you're going through a chatzar to get to the Gag.
Right.
So your ultimate goal was to get to a place which is a makom she'ein mishtamer. But if you weren't going to a Makom Mishtamer, if you're going through the Chatzar to get to the Bayis, then of course it will be Kaveh coming to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda as well. Right? Correct? You're masking to this?
No.
You're not masking to this?
I had a question on what you just said.
What did I just say?
Not Mishtamer?
Yes.
That's an assumption Gemara has been making the whole time. Yeah. Remember, they said they brought it up the back,
yeah.
the back way to I get to the Gag to no. be able to eat it, and it would not be Mishtamer, it would not be Kaveh.
When he's in the house. If you're saying that he's going through the
chatzar,
I'm telling you, that's not true.
No, if you're going through a chatzar mishtameres,
so I thought
pnei abayis. We're going now. Chatzar mishtameres is also kaveya.
Even though you're passing through.
No.
Yes. According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda,
you're passing through the chatzar.
You're passing through the chatzar, but
if you get to another chatzar, to get to the house, it's the same thing.
Hold on a second. No. That's what I want to tell you the difference. No. There is a small difference here.
What is the difference?
The difference is that there's a Rishus Haram and Be'emsa in Argamar. You have Magdala and Tveria.
You're going
from one chatzar into a Rishus Haram and then into the chatzar.
Are Mishtamer?
Yes.
Both?
Yeah, let's assume they are both Mishtameres. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Kiddush, you're saying.
That's the Kiddush over here.
The Kiddush is that
Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will agree that even though your ultimate goal is to get to a Chatzar Mishtamer, but it's not going to be Mechayev you like in our previous case.
Not until you get into it.
Okay, now that is a question. You want to say, you make an assumption, and when I read the Gemara at first, I also thought like you, that when you ultimately get to Tveria, that you will be mukhayyif when you get to that chatzar.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the mafarshim, at the Marafulda, at the Pnei Moshe, at the Gra and Ksav Yad Aleph, you'll see they all say the same thing, that even since, let's read the Gemara first inside. Heviron bezusha magdala lo'eichlan bezusha betveria, mekiven sheheviron derech heter, since the first courtyard was not kaveya. Mutter, it remains mutter. Let's take a look at the Mar folder, for example. Mekivan Sheivir, look at the Mar folder, the third thin line. Mekivan Sheivir and Derech Heter, Shalahayva Dati Loichlam Bechatzah Shemamegdala Sheivir Vesaychai, Mutter afilu bezusha betver, your marifolder says. That your mutter, even in the tver you want. The mali chotzer zumi zu. He says, what's the difference? One chotzer from the other chotzer. Since the
it's funny because the Hebrew he says mutal alocha b'dar kol etzveria.
Right. That's what I thought the pshat was also. That's what I thought the pshat was.
That's a huge finish.
And let's take a look. Let's look at Ksav Yad Aleph of the Gra.
Yeah.
Take the Ksav Yad on the bottom. Take a look over here. It says.
What does that mean,
Ksav Yad Aleph? There's two Ksav
Yad,
okay?
He wrote it twice?
We found two manuscripts. Who knows?
Which Shadi
Barbasa? Derek Heter, Mutter, the second line.
Yeah.
Derek HaChotzer Shena Yochalit Bol, Lefi Shena Waitzel Lechol Kan, Ela B'Chotzer Shebetreya. Mutter Lechol, Af B'Chotzer Shebetreya. So the there in that Ksav Yad Aleph, the Gra writes, again, You could eat it even in the Chatzar Shabbatraya. Now take a look at Ksav Yad Beis. Look at this second line. Pirish Derech Chatzar Shena Yochalit Bol and they Shena Roitz and Lechol Kan Ela B'Chatzar Shabbatraya. Mutu Lechol Ad Shemagia Ela Chatzar Shabbatraya.
Right, because that makes sense. Would make sense.
That makes sense, right?
Because it's not Kavua. I'm saying the minute that you get
the Beis,
I don't understand what's the idea that cause. It's not Kaveh one, it's not Kaveh the other.
Right.
It's very strange.
The Tnei Moshe says the same thing?
I believe so. Tnei Moshe.
Let's see.
Agus Betraya Atzma. Kiva Shavirin Derech Heter. Ve'oise Shem Migdol. Mutter Lachom Mehen Arai. Afilu Chatzah Shem Betraya. He says it explicitly the same thing. See?
No, which
the second, four lines up from where it gets wide. Yeah, Penyosha says the same exact thing. It's amazing, you know, like Mara Fuldok, Penyosha, Ksav Yad Rishon of the Gura, unbelievable. Okay, let's go right.
Okay, so we don't know.
Let's learn the way we want to learn, okay? We have our day up. We're like Grace of Gaidim over here. Let's learn it our way. That the mutter is that your mutter to eat it between
till you get to the
Chatzah Shabbatrei, and then of course it'll be Kaveya, unless you're going to learn that it's not Mishtamaris, maybe they're not.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Okay, now that's not Mishtamar. Yeah.
Right.
So now, Asir Reb Shem Ben Yochai Ki Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda, Reb Ruba Min Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara says like this. Obviously, our previous Gemara, like we spoke out, right? This previous case, obviously he's going like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, because it wasn't Nikva in the first field, which is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's Shita. But we've seen this Lashon in Yerushalmi before, but Ruba, and he goes further than Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, right? He goes even further, Ruba. Ma'adam Rabbi Yosef Yehuda b'am b'makam tur. That's when he's standing in an exempt area, an area such as a rooftop cannot establish a tithing obligation. He's talking about that you might have thought that the second courtyard renders the produce tevel. In other words, like the first shatim that we saw, that the second, even the second chatzar is mutter, he's going even further. That he holds, once you go, derech heter means he passed the first courtyard in a manner that leaves it permissible, it remains permissible even in the second courtyard. That's the way they're going to have to look. I mean, it's a favorite of the Gemara, right? Let's look at the variant.
He knocks it out of the park. Ross Cirilio.
He's saying that we go and we read the variant, the Ross Cirilio knocks it out of the park.
It's the only way to understand it, really.
So he said, let's take a look. If you look at the second paragraph in the footnote, in the box, let's see. He understands, Rosh Cirilio understands, only the courtyard of Megdala, which the produce is merely passing through, does not establish the chiyuv. But the courtyard in Tveria, which it entered on a permanent basis, does. Nevertheless, the Gemara considers Rosh Cirilio to be going further. Why? For the following reason. Rabbi Yossi exempts the produce that entered a courtyard on a temporary basis only when its final destination is an exempt area, such as the rooftop, not when its final destination is an obligated area, such as a courtyard. So Rabbi Yossi would hold that even the courtyard in Magdala establishes a tithing obligation because your destination is a makom. This is what I spoke out before. Rabbi Shimon, however, goes further. He exempts the produce on a temporary basis in the Rishus HaRabim, even though your ultimate goal was to get to a makom chiyuv, right? That's what he's speaking out over here. Therefore, the courtyard in Magdala does not establish the tithing obligation. Only when the produce enters the courtyard in Tveria does it become obligated. That's going to be the reason why I spoke out to you before.
Right. It's a very smart thing to say, the smartest we have earlier in the parsha, that once it's exempt, it's always exempt.
It's very difficult. It's a very difficult, very difficult svara what the pshat is. Yeah.
This makes sense. This is something.
Okay, let's go to 23b, okay? Yeah.
Does it say specifically anywhere that there was the Rishus HaRabim between the two?
Does it say it explicitly? I think I saw it in the Rishus. Hold on 1 second, please.
Or someone else says you Rishus HaYafid.
Hold 1 second, please. Where did I see it? I don't know where I saw it. Maybe I didn't see it. Maybe I was dreaming. I don't see it. I thought I saw someplace where it said it was the Rishus.
You skipped one piece.
Did I skip something?
Yeah, bottom.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. I'm still on Kavkim on off. I beg your pardon. Rabbi Elazar Rubin Ben Tarbeihon. And Rabbi Elazar went, in other words, I have three names here. I have Rabbi Yeshua Behuda, I have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and now I have a third name. Rabbi Eliezer is going further than even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Elazar Amar, Mikim Shehiskel Bahen Derech Heter Mutter. He holds once he begins to eat it in a Derech Heter. He's talking about the famous case where you started eating outside the Chatzar. You're eating a cluster of grapes, right? You have in your hand, and you're plucking one grape at a time. You're eating Derech Heter outside your Chatzar. And while you're eating, you walk into the chutzar. He holds you can continue eating because you started to eat derech heter. You can continue to eat.
We're saying even the das of Akilim that the minute that you hit the chutzar, the second chutzar,
you have to stop. High. Correct.
No, not according to Akilim.
Yeah, even.
He's saying,
the minute that you hit the second chutzar.
That's an Arab shot. In other words, he's saying like the first shotim that we saw, that they hold that even when you get to Treya, you remain mutter. That's what he said. We're not learning like that.
We're not learning.
Okay. So that's Rabbi Elazar. He's even more make. Okay, let's go on. So now we're on Chav Kilim base now, for real. So what's it talking about over here? It was a little daka stick in the Mishnah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Can we read the rest of that English of 23 after number 11?
Okay, we have a request on the floor, which we're going to honor. We're going to yield 60 seconds.
Whereas,
Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, exempts produce in a courtyard from tithes only if it would be eaten elsewhere in the future. Rabbi Elazar exempts it even if it was eaten elsewhere in the past. Even Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who in the previous case took the past into account, but he exempts the produce only if it was previously in a courtyard that was unsuccessful in rendering a tevel, not merely if the produce itself was eaten elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Was that in English?
You don't understand what I just read?
No.
First understand past and future, right?
Yeah.
Past is, I was eating it outside the kotzer. This is Rabbi Elazar. He was eating it before.
Yeah.
He therefore can continue eating it later. That's going past to present, okay? Or future. Future is, I'm looking at the target area which I'm headed to.
So
where am I headed?
The house?
Where am I headed? Am I headed to the house? Am I headed to the chutzah?
You're heading to the chutzah.
Right. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once you're only going to be exempt up until the point that you get there.
That's what we said. That's what you're arguing with us. That's what we said.
Right.
We said that he could eat in the distance between the two chatzeros.
Right.
The minute that he hits the second chatzer, that's it. You're at there is no.
Right. Right.
Because that's your target destination.
So he's going beyond. He wasn't looking at the past. He was looking at the future. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer was even looking at the past. That's what he means, ruba.
Right. But I'm saying, Rabbi Eliezer, we don't know specifically that he said it. He said it in Trumas, the Gabay and Eshkol. We're not talking about in that case that he actually had the Chatzar as his destination.
No, that's specifically that's the case. That's
no,
where
I'm saying, I thought he reached the Chatzar. That means he's walking by there.
No. He's walking home. He walks into the Chatzar.
And he's still eating.
Why is he able to eat? Because he started eating before. We never saw anyone talking about what's happening before in this discussion with Rav Shmuel Yochai and Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yehuda.
So you're saying that Rav Lezer, in our case, will for sure say that he could continue eating in the second chatzar?
We don't
know that.
We have two opinions here.
I don't know about that.
Right.
I would say that for sure he would hold you could eat in Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
That's no argument about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Right. I'm over to Paul.
Now we're on 23B now.
There's a request from the floor.
And you're supposed to say, and I yield back. Okay, Hamaitzi pile up. So let's just remind ourselves of what the Mishnah said again. Hamaitzi pile up. What did it say in the Mishnah? If you take out the workers out to the field, if they have a claim of food, they may eat one at a time, not from a basket, not from a box, and not a pile of figs. So this pile of figs is what we're going to be discussing here. Frekta Gemara. We understand you can't take one fig at a time from the basket or from the box because it's already nigma lakto. It's considered like tziruf, right? You can't eat but tziruf. We know that. So the Mishnah was telling me that once it's in the basket, it's already matzuruf. So you can't do one at a time anymore. It's matzuruf by definition.
Right.
That the Gemara understands fine. But what about v'lomin ha-muksa? What's shot in that? Right? Two. Does he explain a little more? They're not in a container. They're on the ground. They're not combined.
What do you mean? Muksa means that it's in a pile already?
It's a pile, but it's not. What's the tziruf? Just as you say there, what? You can pick one at a time. Vim tziruf chayev. Amrav Hocha came to say the same thing to over here. Eat one at a time. Amrav Yitzchak Muktza Oysa Oysa Kumitzorov.
Muktza is rye?
No, Muktza is a pile.
Muktza, they're a pile.
I thought we said.
It could be used as.
The word Liktos means to dry.
It could be used that way.
Right, because we said before. So it's a pile before the pile that goes into the pile. It's a pile before the pile. That's what you're saying?
Before it goes into a box or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
So, and four, even though the figs are not actually combined, they treated them as if they were. When a worker with contractual eating privileges eats many figs from one pile, it is apparent that he's engaged in one eating session, even if he takes one at a time. So he's similar to one's eating figs that are combined. Okay, this is a svar and a drabbanan, That's the way they made it. Now, then it says if you're hired to work with olives, then he has the right to eat. He eats it one at a time. Tony Deves Rebbe. The worker can eat in a normal manner two or more olives at a time, and he's still exempt. In other words, Rebbe is koiluk on the Mishnah. So, Rebbe Yonabai, Manan Kayaman, what are we talking about over here? If he hired him to work with olives, so then everybody's going to agree, when I'm hired to work with olives, I have a heter min ha-Torah to take food, and I for sure can eat without having to take anything, right? I don't have to take off any ma'aser. I don't have to take it one at a time. I can eat as much as I want, as much kadesh nafshecha tzavecha, ech sh'atar tzalechol atam.
You
can
have a whole bunch to have.
You can pop them in your, whatever you want to do over there, no problem. Right? Because the Torah gave it to you, because you're working with the olives. So that's one extreme. That's what the Gemara is speaking out, the extremes. This is what I mentioned to you before, the lashon of la'ador, takat hazeitim, that you plow, you're hoeing underneath the actual tree. There you, of course, don't have any right to any fruit at all. There you have to eat it one at a time. Meaning even Rebbe is going to agree to that. Halacha is true.
So it's funny, really, two creates a mecca? You know what I'm saying?
Two creates a kfias. Yeah. That's true. Right? You're obligated. In this case, the Torah does not grant him eating privileges, so whatever he eats is considered purchased, since the employer is contractually obligated to provide him with food. If the olives are combined, you have to tithe them, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Ella, kinan kayama, what are we talking about? Where is there a machlaikas where Rebbe holds its mutter? V'sheshoroi l'nachesh imo b'zeisim. He's hired him to weed the olives. Right? Weeding the olives. So here he says to cut off inferior olives to allow more room for the higher quality olives to grow. So that's not really weeding. That's weeding out the bad olives, I guess.
Yeah.
So 10, he says, although picking produce normally entitles you to eat, but cutting inferior olives off the tree is not included in this grant, because one does not cut off inferior olives to harvest, but to enhance the growth of the other olives.
Wow.
Okay? So what does Rebbe hold? Rebbe holds that even
olives,
cutting off inferior olives, still entitles the worker to eat, because he's detaching the produce upon which he's performing the labor. So you have a machloikas, Rebbe, and the Tanakama, whether when you're hired to weed out the inferior olives, does that give you a heter to eat minat Torah, which Rebbe holds you it does? And therefore, you're potter from having to take off any trumas and maizers. And Tanakam holds his notes like mekach, and therefore two at a time is awesome. Min de basra, we can see this from the latter part of the Mishnah. L'nachash v'tzolim, if you hire a worker to weed, if you say, I will work to you on the condition I can eat the green leaves of the onion plant, mekartem, although all of oichel, you can eat one leaf at a time, v'mserav chayiv. But if you put it together, you're going to be chayev. Just like that's talking about weeding, so too this is talking about weeding. That's the end of today's Taf of Gimel. We'll continue with the rest, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow night.